Blog Talk Radio.
My heart is free.
welcome to Shutter Button Poetry, brought to you by a team of voices. A team of voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. It is free to join, and there you can knock on a team of voices group and follow along with our page every night. We have different topics, different shows. They're all up there. You can participate. You can read along with the poems that are posted at the board, and you can share your thoughts. I always like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the Blog Talk page so we can share live. Tonight, we are doing something a little different. Done a couple of things like this before, but over the many years that I've been running contests, I have run about 640 Shutter Button Poetry contests, which are just pictures that I've taken and some that actually my mom has taken. And people write poems to them. I always tell them to go wherever they want. They have complete freedom. So tonight we're just going to be sharing some of those. And if you listen to the link, you can actually see within the picture thread some of the photos, actually all of the photos of the that go with the corresponding poems tonight. So you can see them there. And, of course, they do have a wonderful description in the poems themselves. We opened with Alex Band. We are actually closing with Alex Band as well. And I just want to give you a little information about the music. Actually, we opened with two songs. Let me correct myself. We had Jay Hatter and Shout Even Shy. Of course, we all come to know and love that song. Lyrics written by Jay Hatter. And the music and the vocals by Shout Even Shy. And then we also opened with Alex Band. And Alex Band is an American singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer. He is best known for being a vocalist of Los Angeles rock band The Calling. I have performed on their hit song, Wherever You Will Go, which topped the Adult Top 40 for 23 weeks, making it the second longest running number one in the chart history, and later named the number one song of the decade of the 2000s on the Adult Pop chart by Billboard magazine. And he was born in Los Angeles, California, into an entertainment family. His Mita Band and his father, Charles Band, is a horror film director. His grandfather, Albert Band, was also another well-known director. Band's father is Jewish and his mother is Christian. Both parents were raised in Italy and they owned a castle in Glove, Umbria. Band explores spiritual themes in several of his songs, though he claims to be in no particular faith himself. Of the song Please, Band said, I grew up with a Jewish father, didn't practice, and a Christian mother whose only tie is celebrating Christmas. Needless to say, to find my own religion in the song, I'm asking God what they should be. So you can see a little bit of those themes in his music, along with other things. I mean, I think The Calling is a pretty well-known band if you're well-versed with thousands. And there's just a little bit about him as quoted by himself. Tonight, we already have a caller on the line. We actually have two callers on the line, so let me let them in. Oh, we just got a full studio, so the way I like it. First and foremost, hello, Raconteur.
Hey.
How are you?
I heard you calling.
You heard me calling with the calling. you're funny. I really love The Calling. I was really a big fan when I was a teenager, and I mean, I still am. They're really good. So, yeah, so that was himself. That was just a lead singer, and even though it wasn't the band, you can still see his style shine through, yeah. All right, we have somebody else on the line, but you know what? I'm not as familiar with all the numbers here, so I'm gonna say hello here to see how it goes. Hello.
Well, Sky, you know when you see the number 61 first, that means it's Australia, which means it's me.
is that why Sweet is always messing you and I
yes.
up? But it's not even, it starts with a 6. That's the only same number.
Yeah. 61, country code for Australia. Yes.
Okay. Well, how are you tonight?
I am improving. I was unwell, significantly unwell over the weekend, and I have got slightly better, which is good. I'm on heavy drugs to do that.
Good. I know, I heard about the debacle you had, so I was
I know,
worried about
it. It was crazy. Jesus. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dumb.
I'm glad you're
so
feeling better, though.
No, I am slowly feeling better, Scott. Slowly.
Good. Awesome. Well, we also have Sweet herself here. Hello, Sweet. Oh, it may be Wayne. I got to get my numbers right. Is this Wayne or Sweet?
It's Wayne.
I think it's Sweet.
Oh, it's
okay.
Wayne.
I'm going to have to start writing the numbers down again.
Hey, how are you, Pete? I've been called Sweet before, so don't worry about it.
You know, I'm going to have to start writing my numbers down till I get this again. So I'll write you guys' numbers down. It's been a while.
You could be used to it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to get right into it. I'm assuming you have a poem, AP?
I have written you a new poem, Sky.
Oh.
I've written you a new poem into your group of pictures, found one I liked, and I have just finished, literally just uploaded it to the board, a new poem. So
awesome.
You haven't seen this before, because nobody has, so I'll put it up on the board. You ready?
The world premiere.
You know,
it
I'm
is.
Not. I'm kind of curious which
is.
One he chose. I mean, there's that's
Here
one of
go.
My best times. Oh, okay.
Two
All
dragons
right.
in 12, and it goes a little bit like this. They stared wistfully from the cave outward while a hatchling practiced singeing leaves, reflecting on the recent age of discord and the many streams of present leaves. There had been turmoil in leadership ranks, and distant Asian dragons had spouted fire. Then there were troubles with gold banks, and dragon birth rate reflected a lower desire. A strange virus with sore fires when coughed. Technology made it hard to motivate young. Time in the air had hit a long-time trough, while burnt villages now far fewer among. And so much more to eat properly these days. Fresh meat prices are doubled by years. Once could have pieces prepared to braise, far better to buy wholesale and drink beers. So many quick schemes ask silver coins. Simple time in the cave, much less it seems. Wood it swells and patterns, here future joins within the past and the present. Play drums and pong.
Excellent. I love where you went with this. So for the listeners at home, I went to a sculpture museum, and there was just gigantic, larger than me, beautiful wood design. I mean, it was just really a piece of wood, and it was cut out. And they polished it down, and they did some things, but it still had all the original knots and grooves and depth of the wood. And I thought it was so gorgeous, and you can't tell really what it is in this picture. I just took a picture of it close up because I just loved the wood. And I love what you did with it because it's definitely abstract. And like one of my favorite things to do, and you did here, was to look at something and kind of, you know, like some people do with the clouds. They look into the clouds, they see what they can see. And this is the same thing. And I love that you found dragons in this. And the one thing that I truly love about doing these photo contests is I've seen these, they're my photos. I've seen them many times. But when somebody writes something and then all of a sudden I look at the picture differently and I'm like, oh yeah, I can see the dragons now. It's funny because I see dragons usually everywhere, but I did not see them here. And now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that's where he got it from. So thank you for that. And then also the poem itself was just wonderfully creative. When you go into, okay, where's the history? Where's the backdrop? What is the story that he's telling? And I thought it was uncanny how the dragons had a little bit of a virus and started going out. And then, of course, the technology, I think there was a little bit of an allegory there of, you know, of maybe mm-hmm. times and that are a bit newer and maybe cycles of this happens in the past and might happen again without dragons. But I thought that was very, very clever. Again, the, where was it? Down to the, so many get quick swings, ask silver coins. And the language in it, of course, beautiful. And you bring back the wood and the swirl patterns and you kind of envelope the poem from the beginning when you talk about the wood down to the end. And I thought that was a wonderful bookmark, kind of setting, kind of group your thoughts back, well, the reader's thoughts back to the where we started. I thought this was very, very well done. And might I say, again, very clever and it's telling. Excellent. I love dragons, so I can't help but think this was just, I just wanted to read about dragons. Brack and Tor, what do you think?
You know, I love what you did with that AP. You didn't just find dragons, but you told the story and you know, within the idea of the dragon, you usually think of the ancients and you know, how wise and old they are because they've been around forever, this, that, and the other thing, and they live a long time. But you've got them comparing themselves to technology and bringing in the modernness to it as well. That was absolutely brilliant. You know, you gave a lot of depth to what you wrote and to the you literally brought the picture to life with that kind of description. It wasn't just a dragon, you know, there was a purpose behind it and, you know, a telling of what they were doing and what they were thinking and how they came to be there and why they were there. So, you know, you answered all kinds of questions and opened up all kinds of doors at the same time. Brilliant, right?
Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you.
Awesome comment, Rack. Yeah, towards the end of the year, I read this book called When Women Were Dragons, and it was all about a mass dragoning and a rewriting of history, like a whole bunch, like basically half the women on the planet turned into dragons, like in the 1950s or something like that. It was a retelling of history. And I thought it was kind of weird because at one point in the book, they described these women dragons walking around purses. Now, I thought that was weird, but now I'm picturing little dragon babies playing video games. I just never thought that I would have that image in my head. It's just really creative. Wayne, what do you think?
I thought it was a very interesting poem. Dragon births have been going down now for the last 300 years, if you didn't know that. So the dragons are getting scarce. The price of fresh meat have doubled recently. That's for sure, but and I've cut back to wholesale like he suggested, but I haven't cut back on my beer drinking. I'm going to substitute that. This is a very interesting point, and I'm ready to move back into the security of the cave, where it's likely to be a lot simpler than it is today. Great job on the prop, and I think I love the point. It's very interesting. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Juan. Cheers.
Thank you, Wayne. Excellent comment. NAP, thank you so much again. Do you want to tell? Do you have anything going on this week? Do you want to tell us about?
Well. We do have the Saturday night show on Mangoes Sky. So Mangoes is where we're going. And I have found a theme song from Harry Belafonte, so we better touch on Harry Belafonte as well. So Harry Belafonte and Mangoes is where we are, Saturday night.
Oh, I like
be
that.
Be there or not
the
over.
That's a cool prompt. I love how you guys just pick just a random word and just run with it. I love it.
We've had some really good shows. I mean, we had Lanterns last week, and that was great fun. And it gave us a chance to read the Wordsworth Longfellow Paul Revere poem, which was just fantastic. First time I've read it. Beautiful. So, yeah, we have some fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, AP. I know you usually have to read and run, and I don't know if you have to, but if you do, thank you.
I do. So, thank you.
Well, thank
and,
you so much.
And have a great show. Okay, thanks again.
You too.
Nice evening. Have a nice day, AP.
Okay, bye. See ya.
Bye. All right. That was fun. All right, so here we have, we've got, I'm going to have to put that one in the loop, but this one is in the loop. So if you're listening and you have the Blog Talk link up, you're going to be able to see this photo right up there eventually while it shifts through. And this one I thought it would be cool if people were listening, they could actually see, you know, the pictures that were being chosen. So I did put them
awesome
up there. Yeah, and this one actually, the one that Wayne brought is actually, it is a photo, but it is a painting that I painted. And then I took a photo of it. So it was cheating a little bit because I painted it and then I took a photo. Because some of them I do. I put most of my paintings up there. And this was actually the second time I ever used watercolor painting. And when I mostly up until that point, I had only done acrylic. And the thing about acrylics is if you don't like something, you just paint right over it. So forgiving. And I was a little scared of watercolor because you can't fix it. Once it's there, it's there. There's no painting over it. So you can't just move a mountain over if you don't like it. This is one of my favorite ones, paintings ever that I've actually done. And it was a happy accident because the shadowing, it's a picture of a mountain range, a gray mountain range, and then it has the trees in front. And they're like these little Christmas trees, evergreens, and they're sprouting out, and some are faded in the back. But the waterline has like a reflection, a dark reflection, and that was because I put the waterline too low originally, and then it blended in perfectly for the shadow. So it really was, like Bob Ross says, there is no mistakes, just happy accidents. Because it was a complete accident that happened. It was just really funny. Anyway, so then there's a little bit of a lake view too in there. So for you listeners, you can see it, and there's also a description. And Wayne, you can take us away.
Okay, I think you got an excellent painting there. I never could do watercolors at all. I've tried one time, and that's too much. It's too liquidy for me. I can't get I like the images kind of stay in place. So I can't do any watercolor. But he did an excellent job on his painting. I like it a whole lot. And that's why I put my paintings on there. You have to take a picture of them. It's kind of hard to paint on the screen. So I take pictures of mine and put them on there. So. And I had 315 of them, and my computer broke, and I lost all of them. I'm trying to put them back together now, and it's hard to do since I got 150 of them out in the field. Kind of figure out the number of them and everything, so it's kind of having a difficult time with that. But anyway, on this poem here, I wrote it. It's called Evergreens in the Evening, and it goes like this. Evergreens gather at lakeside edge. Sun slowly sets behind mountain ledge. Water wiggles from mountain breeze. Refreshing smiles on silent trees. Darkness pushes the day away. Time for wildlife to come out and play. Again.
No, sometimes I do this thing where if I really like a poem, I just write one line and I see it later and I'm like, why did I only write one thing? And then I'm like, I must have really liked it. And some people don't understand that. Like, I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, this is brilliant, and like, that's it. And then, you know, I probably should elaborate on it. So I'm glad you brought it, because I see here that I only wrote like one line on your poem, and I apologize, but sometimes that's just, I just love it. I love that you brought in the evergreen, because when I look at this, that's besides the water, and it's because they're reflecting the water, it's the most prominent, and I really love trees. So I love that you speak about the evergreens gathering at Lakeside Edge, because you actually, in that opening line, brought in the reflection of the evergreens in that water, which was, by the way, the happy accident. And then you bring in that sunset, and if you were to take this, the thing is that photo prompts are great, but it's always important to remember that if you take away the photo, the poem has to stand by itself as well. And yours definitely does, because just by your one line, your picture, you can, if you completely take the photo out and no one even seen the photo, they just read your poem, they're going to picture your image. They're going to picture that sun slowly setting behind the mountain. And I love that you knew that it was a sunset and not a sunrise, because that's what I was aiming for. And yeah, I mean, you bring in the mountains, of course. And then I love the personification that you brought into it when you say the reflection smiles on the silent trees. You know, you're giving them a little personality. You're giving the mountains an action and a person, and then you're giving the trees a little bit of like silence. Like everything is still right before it goes down. Everything is calm when darkness starts to push the day, which also, by the way, was brilliant. I stole every line. Sorry, Rack, but
it was a brevity.
Last line, and I was going to save it for you, but I'm also going to say, sorry, Rack, I'm also going to say that I like how you brought in the wildlife, and there's no wildlife at all in the photo. You kind of just brought it in, and you said, okay, well, lurking in those woods and in those mountains, there has to be some kind of creature. So I like how you imagined beyond the photo, and you brought in a little bit of wildlife. And I promise that's the end of my comment. I'm going to have to give Rack a turn and start to fall asleep over there. Excellent poem.
Great comment, by the way.
Thank you. What did you think, Rack?
Well, you know, it helps that you know, you commented so much too, because, you know, obviously I can't see the photo itself, but your comparison of what he wrote to the photo gives me, you know, visions of what the photo is itself too, or the painting, the photo of the painting of the, you know, the painting within the photo. I like what you did, because, you know, it's easy to just kind of describe something, but you went be a little beyond that. You know, there's a feeling to the words that you used, and the scenario that you made it welcoming and more than just, you know, a mountain and a bunch of trees and a lake. You know, you went in depth to it and brought it to life more than just saying, you know, oh, green trees, you know, reflected water, and you didn't just do that. You went beyond that, and you know, you gave it a movement even when there wasn't any. You gave it a serenity and a calmness at the same time. It was very well done, Wayne.
Thank you very much. It's a great comment.
Excellent comment, Rack. And yeah, thank you, Wayne, so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, great, we have another caller. I don't know if you heard your poem, but we'll ask her. Hey, Deb.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good, how are you?
Fly away.
I know, I kind of missed that. Or I'm going to, because, like, yeah, I only got one more time to have it, and that'll be Thursday. And then no singing to me when I arrive. But I'm doing well.
Well, we'll throw flowers at your feet instead.
Say that again?
We'll throw flowers at your feet instead. You won't hear anything, but you'll know they're there.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Oh, my goodness. And, Scott, you sound a lot better.
I'm going to have to figure it out. something to say to you. We'll figure it out.
what is Thirsty? What's happening, Thirsty?
Huh?
What's happening, Thirsty? What did you say about Thirsty?
Poetic Slice goes off the air on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I's last episode over there, yeah. Okay. It'll be the last time that they all sing to me.
Okay.
Then I'll fly away.
Butterfly away.
Yeah, well, Stephen did say he wouldn't mind if I brought in my, I do over there, including that. So it may not be. I'm not sure yet, though. Did you happen to hear Wayne's poem?
Well, I didn't hear it, but while you guys were commenting, I was reading it. And for starters, it's a beautiful painting, Sky. And Wayne, I really, really think that you brought it to life with your words. Like, I could visualize as, I read it, and then you look up and you see and you realize that you totally brought it to life. As a matter of fact, I saved it in my amazing brevity file because I thought it was so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. And
nobody,
thank you again. Hmm?
And nobody died.
Yeah, you should have waited then.
Well, next, so if you, so Wayne, this might interest
you.
Speaking of that, next month, I am doing another Shutter Button show. It is going to be the third Tuesday? I think it's the same. I think it's the day of the month. But it is a Shutter Button, but there's a link, and it says, only my Oktoberfest contest, and I have a separate file for that. And since, I don't know, many years, I think I missed 1 year, but many years, I don't know how many, but a lot of them, I have been doing Oktoberfest contest. And I do one contest a day for October because I'm crazy and I really love October. So some of those are fall, and some of those are very like Halloween photos of like Halloween decorations. And some of those are really dark, creepy photos that I just, like maybe it was like a basement door being creaked open, and I just took a picture of it because I thought it was cool that I sometimes am in really old buildings, 1800 old barn building, and so there's like lots of stuff there. So if you really want to get your serial killer poems on, next month is going to be your opportunity, because it's going to be featuring all those like scary type things. So check it out.
I believe one time you had a contest once that had a, you took a picture of a castle, I think. And I wrote that one there. I don't know if it was October or not, but you had a picture of a castle you went and visited.
Yeah, was it like a painting?
I think it was a photo.
I think it was from your trip with Sarah. It was ruins, actually.
Yeah. I really wanted to see a castle. We actually didn't, and we were thinking about going to hop over to Ireland and to go to this castle on like a cliff on this cliff. We ended up didn't, but those ruins are actually all abbeys. They're all abbeys. None of them are actual castles, but they look like them. And every time I seen a building, I was like, it's a castle. And Sarah's like, that's not a castle. And I'm like, no, it's a castle. And she's like, I know you really want to see a castle, but that is not a castle.
Yeah, well, a castle.
Like,
older building. It's older building.
It's a castle. It looks like one. So I actually didn't see any castles. I went by a lot of things, and I agree with you, Wayne. They all looked like castles. I'm with you.
I have no way of finding these poems. I write these poems, and I think about them. I think, well, I wonder what poem is. And I have no idea if it was 2 years ago or 4 years ago or 6 years ago. And, I can never find a poem. I'm looking for it. I spend hours looking for poems. I can't never find none of them.
Yeah, if you can remember what the picture, if you can, yeah, I know. It's hard when you have so much work. If you can remember what the picture looks like, you may be able to scroll through, or you can message me and say, hey, I remember this picture was like something, and I can spot my pictures. Like, when I go to your page, I can flip through your page super easy, and I can spot my pictures very fast because I know my photos.
Wow.
So when I look at your list, I can spot my. I can go through 10 pages and I can spot my photos on your page immediately. So if you're like, I don't remember what it was, but it was something like this. If you think you remembered writing for a castle, I'll flip through some of your pages and I bet you I can find it pretty quickly.
I have 154 pages though. There's 154 pages to go through.
I know.
It's hard on me. I can't do my guess. It's hard.
You're giving me homework. I'll work on it. I didn't give anybody homework for this one. You're giving me homework. It's payback.
I'm going to write a new one for the next show. I'll just write a new one.
Okay, well, the link's there. The topic board is already up. It's up there early. It's a whole month early. All my topic boards are up early. Everybody will have is a lot of time to be able to write and link to all the Oktoberfest contests. All you do is click it and you'll see all the photos and you can just scroll through and pick one you like. So good luck.
Cool.
But I have Deb on the board and Deb wrote something in the thing and I'm really happy because you wrote, Deb, that this was – I mean, I don't want to take your thunder, so I don't want to say anything if you were going to say it, but
– No, go ahead.
You had said this is, like, your favorite one, and I was going to say this last – or maybe you didn't write it, but you said it last night on your show, that this is your favorite poem out of everyone, out of the – a lot of them who wrote to a lot of my pictures, that this is your favorite one. And I was going to say in your show, but I waited till tonight – that, and you should know because you do picture prompts Monday. Like when you post the prompts and you do the shows, and then people write to it. I mean, it feels really good when you can inspire people in any way, whether it's through your photo or through a photo that you chose, like you do, or through a prompt, and then you get to like read the poem and you're like, wow, this is wonderful, and really it exists because you prompted poems to this person. And then to hear them say that it's one of their favorites and they are proud of it, I don't know, it feels really good. And it's why I have done so many of these contests, and I just keep doing them because a lot of people like them. I was just saying, well, that was really nice of you to say, and I'm sure you feel the same will come to your shows with poems as well.
Well, yeah. I very much like that I can start to learn what inspires each of my friends and stack the deck for them. But I'm imagining that it's much stronger when you're the actual person who painted it and or snapped that photo. But, yeah, and you were right. I did say it on the show last night, but I did write it on your topic board as well. And on a side note, I want to say thanks because aside from the gold that you gave me for this one, I entered it in a contest where it was an invite-only contest, and I won the gold from them as well. And again, I say I have written tons for your photographs and now your paintings, and it still remains one of my all-time favorites. Anyway.
And I'm going to tell you a little secret, too.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. Well, I put the photos in so if anybody clicks the link and they're listening to the blog talk, I put the photos in the revolver. So you'll actually see this in there. But this is just an inkwell, and it has my colored pencils. But, Deb, this is a photo, but actually if you look to the side, there's an easel, and that is a painting. So this is it's a picture of a painting in regular. So you've got them both in here, actually.
How cool is that? Wow.
I have to be honest with you. I didn't like how those calla lilies came out, and I took the whole canvas and I painted it back black and I made a forest. That painting doesn't exist anymore except for in this photo.
I've done it a lot.
Anyway, go ahead, Deb. You have the microphone.
Really cool. And, you know, I never really noticed before because I honed right in on that. The feather's stunning. I like the ripple lines in it. But now I'm looking at it and I can see the stem and part of the leaves from the flower. But, like, yeah, I'm sure you're not the first artist in history to not be happy and blank out the screen and start again. So, you know. All right, so this is called To Thank the Bird for His Striped Feather. And here we go. This letter's written to the bird, the one that dropped the feather from the sunlit sky at dawn. That feather landed by the hedges at the koi pond in the lawn. I picked that quill up off the grass, then this tale began to spawn. A journal of the newborn fawn with the deer out supping a drink, written with your striped quill, dipped in my periwinkle ink. Tales of the white-tailed mama and freckled daughter at her side, playing with two silver squirrels that climbed on her back for a ride to forage the acorns for supper, food the Mother Earth supplied. Prancing by the sycamore saplings to the grove of oak and sequoia trees, 8 laced-winged butterflies are spied, surfing the air on the morning breeze, hopping on the milkweed blossoms, sharing breakfast with pollinator bees. Every day this crew meets up outside, so I grab your feather to scribble lines, writing anecdotes of the wildlife critters sniffing perfume from honeysuckle vines. 3 years pass, and they visit every spring. Blue songbirds sing, and the flowers bloom. But this year, on the backyard visit to me, Mama Deer chaperones her daughter's groom. Her buck stands at the edge of the apple orchard, guarding the grandchild she stopped by to show. If not for the feather that you dropped, Mr. Bird, I may not have seen that family from the field to grow. Thank you, Mr. Bird, for leaving the striped feather. End the poem.
Absolutely gorgeous and definitely worth, I mean, the double gold that you have garnered here. So I really like calligraphy and things. So that's actually an inkwell. You can see the ink. And it's a real feather quill pen, but it's for calligraphy, and it's an actual silver tip pen. And it's kind of funny because whenever my goddaughter goes and picks up bird feathers outside, I'm like, don't touch it, bird. You know, I'm like, crazy. Bird carry things. But then I have a feather pen. But I love how you brought the story in about your thanking the bird for the feather. And I love the creativity from that, like this just fell from the sky and it was a gift. And then you go into the specifics by saying koi pond and the lawn, which I love that you just specify and use that detail. I just love that kind of stuff in poems. But you go further. You don't just focus on the pen, but you talk about inspiration, right? You talk about how this pen had inspired you to write about what your surroundings were. But also a little bit of magic in it. And I always say, like, when people just sit down and they look around and they write poetry, it's so about what they see. It seems so simplistic to sit down and watch two squirrels scurrying around and then write about them, but it's beautiful. And so I love how you brought these different types of scenes, you know, talking about the deer and the tales of the white-tailed mama and the freckled daughter at her side. And you're bringing in this nature. And I know that you always say, write for your reader, right? So I love, of course, that you brought in the sycamore sapling because you brought in the trees. And you also brought a little bit of yourself in there with eyeing the 8 laced-winged butterflies. So there's just such a a wealth of nature here and beauty and wildlife. And you just go into with these couple stanzas. And I like that transition. I like the transition from the quill to poetry and creation, because, I mean, I think we all can really relate to that and what that is. And then you even put a time stamp on it. 3 years have passed, and they visit every spring. And you talk about this. I just really love that because it's so detailed. It feels so tangible. And then again, you go back saying thank you, because I may have not noticed this if I didn't stop to write about it or stop to observe and create. And I think that's such a beautiful thing and a really creative way to bring in the feather to tell all these other stories about these other creatures and what you saw and what you experienced. So really well done. And
amazing.
Raph, what do you think?
Thank you so much. And thanks again for that
thank
goal.
You. You deserve it. Raph and Tor, what do you think?
I think you did a great job with the details on this. Starting with the idea of the feather, because at one point that really is what people do. They didn't go out and pluck birds and use the feathers to use the quills. They normally did look for the flight feathers when they were using the ones that they wrote with, and they were very prized because they had to be specific shapes and things, because if when you write, especially in calligraphy, you have that the pen has to go a certain way and you have to twitch it and the feather has to be a certain shape. You can't just use those big flouncy feathers, because if you were to try and write with something like that for real, you'd be all over the place. You'd never be able to get a letter out, but then that whole, thank you for the feather spawned an entire story. The idea of even the male birds are usually the more colorful ones to attract the females. So, the striped feather, well, it had to be Mr. Bird. It's not like, a generic, I'm going to dance around what the bird was. You committed to, this was Mr. Bird. Thank you, Mr. Bird. And you went on to tell about, everything that transpired around that and after that and the whole snowball effect. I thought that was a beautiful way, similar to bookending, one thing begat another and led to another. And you told the whole story and it developed wonderfully. And, you kind of followed the life cycle of the feather, and it was all because of the bird who was kind enough not to crap on you.
That's a good point. Fantastic comment. Thanks so much. And yeah, I'm very glad he didn't poo on me.
That's supposed to be good luck.
Yeah, well, I've had my share of good luck, and it's usually on the boardwalk in Atlantic City when the seagulls fly overhead, and if you're eating something, trust me, it's not very good luck. Because it kind of gags you, Ugh. Yeah, thanks for the awesome comment.
Awesome. And Wayne?
Yes. This is about a perfect poem you make it right. As far as the details go, you start with a feather falling, but you didn't just all put exactly where it fell, and it fell about at the Kale Pond and the lawn. You everything in it's where you, because the animals, you had the animals like the butterfly, you had butterflies and bees and deer, you had the bird, just squirrels, it's only known, you had all the animals in there, and it detailed perfectly. And you went with all the vegetation, you run the flowers, the honeysuckle, the milkweed, it was just only known all through the detail, it's perfect. Everything about it was good, and nice and calming, and had good mood to it. Yep, the emotions were great. A great read. There's nothing wrong with this poem at all. It's a perfect poem. Great job.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Another great comment. And, on a side note, I have to admit that a lot of it came from the backyard, and it was like sort of predestiny, I guess, maybe, because we have a stream that runs between the lake that's to the right of me and the lake that's to the left of me in the state park. And a lot of animals use it, obviously. Well, there is also a herd of deer. And sometimes when in that rare occasion that you get to have Indian summers and the windows are open, you can hear the water splashing at night, and it's the does from a herd that lives in the park that come and go swimming. And then there's a tree out back that they love to eat from. Well, there's always one straggly doe, and sometimes she stays after they leave, and sometimes she shows up first and then they do, but she's almost always alone. And this year she came back with her doe, her baby fawn, and I was blown away. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she brought her baby. So she hasn't brought her future husband or anything yet, but she has brought a baby. So I was so excited, and it made me think of this poem. But the butterflies and the squirrels and everything else from the story are from the backyard. So there's all kinds of pieces of me in there.
These are the paradise.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you. And I don't want you to leave just yet. I know that you – I don't know if you're hanging out today or what your plan is, but I want you, before – we move on, to plug anything that you would like to plug.
Sure, yeah. Tomorrow night at 9, Hatter's going to pull out one of Hatter's jukebox shows, and he's covering Tom Petty. So he'll be sharing Tom Petty music and a lot of his knowledge of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Like I said, that's at 9 p.m. And then at 10... I know Sweet put up her category, and it had some kind of, you know, comedic twist to do with, like, growing up. Like, she doesn't put on her stilettos and dance on the bar anymore because she's, you know, she's aged. So that's just an example, but that's at 10 Thursday night. Friday, I don't remember. It's Saturday. We are doing the topic Mango, wherever that piece of fruit takes you. That's at 9 p.m. And on back to Monday for my show at 10 p.m., I am going to start trickling in for October's darkness with Halloween and stuff, so I figured I would do a 50-50, and that show is going to be Angels and Demons. So check out the art and take it where it leads you. And thank you, Sky.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And, yeah, thank you, Deb.
And keep these coming because they're one of my favorite things, obviously, as many contests as I enter. I love, love, love writing to your photos and art, so don't stop.
Thank you. They're a little bit on hold because I'm trying to do my thing that I'm trying to do. And if some people who are on hold would just enter their storyboards, I can close those and open them. No pressure, guys.
Yeah,
no pressure.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim.
All right. Love and respect, you guys.
Bye.
Take care, Deb.
And as Deb leaves, hello, Sweet Pea.
Hello.
How are you? We were just talking about you. Dancing on the table.
I know, I heard. Yes.
Well, I know that you are in a time crunch, so your poem's on the board. And for the listeners, this is the poem. It has the mountain ranges in the back, and it has the really blue sky with the white clouds. And I think I was, I know I was up in the White Mountains. I think I was on Cannon Mountain or somewhere near Cannon Mountain. I think we were going up the tram. So this is where that's taken. Take us away.
All right, this is my bronze medal. This is rival in colored hues. The divinity of aquamarina skies mingle with purple mountain highs and skydive into forest green tree tips. Huddled against the glacier snows that whistles to buttery aspens that sing in choir harmonies, solitude creates not loneliness or strength, creates not loneliness or strengthens fortitudes. Beheaded cacophonies of restlessness, calm and silence, beginnings of routine, habitually change in caverns of solace. Malicious rage fades as nature rehabilitates pain. Hands touch mountain rains and weep away salty fears of nightmares that play in the sunshine of day. Grief for days unclaimed, retreat as moon winks through sleep. Valleys of mountain flowers bloom of red, orange, yellows, and blues. Smile as one in kaleidoscope of brilliance. Mountain ranges create spectacular views and rival in colored hues. End poem.
Absolutely gorgeous. And I have to say the color in this was just absolutely, absolutely stunning. And, like, when you see, like, the aquamarine skies mingle with purple mountain highs, I love that because, you know, in the photo there is a breath of the mountains are very low and the sky takes up, you know, a good portion of the photo. I tend to really like the sky. And as I was saying to Wayne earlier, you take away the photo, you're still going to have that effect. You're still, the reader is going to imagine that just by your words, and I think that it's beautiful. And I like how you're talking about skydives in Sephora's green tops. And I like how you pick skydive because now you're picturing things descending from the sky. And also, just for me personally, it reminded me of the time I went zip lining down a treetop, but it wasn't here at the White Mountains. It was up in Sunapee. And I just took like a bunch of zip lines all the way down, a series of them. And I'm a little afraid of heights. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was really fun. My friend always really wanted to do it. And I like how you wrote to buttery aspens, and you kind of just brought in the aspens and you kind of created and made your own. Of course, you brought in everything. When you talk about the change in the caverns of solace, malicious rage fades as nature rehabilitates pain. And I think that is so true. I think that whatever place that someone is in, if they are able to get out there and just take a breath and see this vast foragery and the world and just be able to just stop and take a moment, it's like its own medicine to just be able to say, oh, look at this whole great big wide world. Look at how much of it there is. And I'm going to be okay. I don't know what it is. At least that's what it does for me personally. So I love that you put it in there, that you brought in other nuances of emotion and emotion in general, because it's a scenery shot, but you still brought in the human condition, which I like. Really, really well done. Thank you so much, sweet. I'm trying to cut myself off.
You're really
welcome. You don't go over a minute. Rack and Tor, what do you think?
I'm a sweet fan, and this has a lot of color to it, you know. The beautiful shades of nature. It kind of makes me want to go camping with her.
Aw, thanks.
We can make s'mores.
Yeah, well, don't take Wayne with you. That's all I'm saying.
if you would come
Wayne,
back.
Wayne, yeah, what do you think, Wayne?
The picture is just lovely. It's a great, it puts everything in perspective in life. It's just a great view. It just kind of makes it calming and it puts you in a good feeling. Just look at the picture. The poem is excellent. It's got a lot of color in it. It covers the picture perfectly. It's got a little bit of a personal touch to it, where it's the hands of mountain range and weeps away starry fears of nightmares that play in the sunshine of day. It's just a lovely line there. The poem's great and the picture's great. And again, it leaves you kind of in a relaxed mood where, you know, you feel good about life after you read the poem and look at the picture. It's just it's still good. It's a great job for both of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Wayne. And Sweet, Steph did plug your show, but you're welcome to plug it yourself if you would like.
It's really about, I put up Miley Cyrus's lyrics to her I Used to Be Young, and it's just got a lot of kind of cool lyrics, and just kind of read those and just tell me how you feel about things you used to do a little wild and crazy that you would never think of doing now, even though people constantly remind you of, well, why aren't you doing that? And why aren't you doing that? Well, yeah, I danced at bars when I was 25, 30. I'm not doing that, you know, 55, 60s. There's reasons for that. Not that I don't throw on those red stilettos once in a while and, you know, show off what I got, because I have my sitting down stilettos, as we call them. They're good from walking to the car to sitting at the bar, and that's all they're good for. But, you know, they're still a little wild in all of us. But say I used to be wild, I say I used to be young, which is one of my favorite lyrics in that song. So it's just, give me something that you feel. That's all I'm looking for.
I understand that.
And, you know, I'm just saying more power to you, because there has never been a time, nor there will ever be a time, that anybody will catch me in stilettos. Like, that is not happening. So more power to you.
Me either. Me either.
I used to wear like the thick, I don't know, I think they were called clogs or platforms, where they were high, but they were all one.
I get
like
that.
They were, even the front were high, you know, and that was
You have a picture of my red stilettos. You have a picture of my red stilettos.
I think I do, maybe.
Now you're just me, and that's not fair.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how people walk in those. I just don't understand. I have lots of respect for you. Don't want to do it. they're really nice. I like them on other people. I feel like that's what I always say.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's really nice on other people.
are the salts red?
Yeah. All right, see, I know that you're in a little bit of a rush. Thank you so much for calling, and I won't keep you any further.
Yes, I need to make the dinner. It is what it is. And Catter, good luck on your show tomorrow. I love, love, love Tom Petty, but I will drop you a poem. Unfortunately, I bowl on Wednesday nights. But I am a Tom Petty big fan, from Mud Crunch to the Traveling Wilburys. Please hit up his show. Tom Petty is he was my Elvis Presley. He is one of the greatest lyricists and poets of our time. And I will give you more shout out for his show. I love, love, love Tom Petty, FYI. He is one of the greatest of our times. So there you go, Hatter. Talk to you guys.
Go back down. Go back down.
Thanks. All right, bye.
Awesome. Thank you. Enjoy your dinner.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, so we got a bit of a treat coming next. I've got JCA in the studio for a reading. And here we go. Here's the clip. And this one, what was this one? He wrote to the one, this one. Okay. So when the pictures are flipping through as you're listening, this is the one with the very dark lake. And then it has the bright, the clouds. And you can see they're very light on the top. And then the underbelly of them are very dark for the storm. The thing that I thought was really great about this, if you can imagine this, Raconteur, the whole lake, you can see the blue sky. But then almost like you can see the storm far away. You can see the rain coming down, but only in a little bit of space. So it's kind of like you were in a forest and then a ray of sunshine was coming through the forest. And you can just see the rays and that little condensed space. But this one is actually the storm. And so it's dark. And you can see the rain far off, but it's not raining where I am. And I thought it was the coolest thing, because it was just in one little tiny, like...
Yeah, the approaching storm.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the whole backdrop. It was just like, maybe, like, say if the photo is 3 inches wide, it was only like a half an inch wide that you can see that storm, that rain coming down, that shadow of the storm. And I thought that was really cool. But so this is Jay. He wrote to this one. And
Let me go back to it. And I won the gold for this one. And he gave us a sound spot. So thank you, Jay. Here we go.
What Happened to Jane by JCA. Jane, you always said they were tears from heaven, those scattered showers from the clouds, mist in the distance, falling from Van Gogh's brush, tickling the lake. You said, look, a thousand tiny fish playing peekaboo. You always had that childlike side. You always sparkled in the rain. The finest gem cut to perfection. My angel floating from the clouds. No one ever knew my true feelings for you. Your vision never left my sight. You were my summer day in the winter. An Ansel Adams print, but more perfect. When the news came, I sat speechless. A thousand marbles filled my gut. My ribcage emptied, and heaven took back an angel. My nights are still filled with dreams of you. My ears hear you in the wind. I know you are breaking hearts in heaven because I see those tears, they fall just like you said.
This is an excellent piece. I remember during this time, too, he had entered a collection of my photos, and he wrote a series of these sad, sad poems. I'm like, Jay, what are you doing? You're breaking my heart. I remember there was one of a playground, and he talked about a kidnapping, and I was like, listen, Jay, I can't handle poetry like this. Don't write me any poems about children being kidnapped, okay? I have enough paranoia. I can't take it, so... I think I gave him the gold for that, but I was like, listen, I'm getting this. Is you got the gold, but do not ever write me a kidnapping poem again. But he did. I think he was like, there was just a couple of them right in a row, if I remember correctly, that were just so sad and so moving. I mean, the story. And you don't really, the thing about this is you don't get a really big wealth of the background. Like, you don't, it never says what happened to her exactly or what it was or what their relationship was before. You just get this brief, you know that this person's gone and how that the speaker, you know, is kind of dealing with it. And even though you only had that little bit of glimpse, it is so, like, engaging and so powerfully done and described, like with the falling from Van Gogh's brush, which, by the way, I thought was brilliant. I like that bit of art that you brought in there. And, you know, at the end, you're completely invested. And even though you don't have the whole story, you don't need it. You don't need the whole story because the emotion is there. You're being drawn into this loss, into this missing, into this, you know, into this person's heart that is just devastated. And I mean, the way that you wrote it, you know, you kind of played with the white space, which I thought was cool, and it was like trickling. And it, and I'm sure you, I think I can say with most confidence that you probably lined up your writing to look like falling rain. And I liked how you did that with the words, how you used the white space and the lines to kind of have that rippling effect. Which I thought was really effective and really well done as well. Congrats on the well-deserved goal and really well done. And I loved hearing this one again. Rack and Tour, what do you think?
I thought it was great. You know, it reminded me a little of, what is it, Clapton, Tears in Heaven. But she's got the line that he's quoting is from a different song. So, you know, there's some music background to it, which I really enjoyed. And you know, like you said, that there's an aching sense of loss of someone that he adored. You know, what the specific relationship was, you know, it's more the feeling of the attachment than it was, you know, what the relationship was about. So that only strengthened the sense of loss to me. So I thought it was very well done and well written.
Thank you, Raffentor. And he did pay homage. So I have to press play to see. He put the video in there for what he paid homage to. I'll mute myself when Wayne makes a comment, and I'll tell you what video, because he did put the song in there. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I said this is a wonderful poem. Sadness talking about what Jane said and thought was amazing. His pain of missing the lady is brought forth wonderfully in this poem, and the poem gave me chills. I had chills when he was reading it. There's so much emotion in this. I miss Jane now. It's simply sad, touching, and lovely, and the sound card was excellent. I love it all the way through. It's a really touching poem. Good job.
Awesome. Thank you, Wayne. So, yeah, Raconteur, you are probably alluding to L.A. Guns, The Ballad of Jane. And he did give them credit as his author's note. Is that what you were thinking of?
The line, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I have another poem, and I'm going to read it. And thank you, Jay, again, for not only bringing the poem, but also bringing the sound crowd. I love hearing you read, so thank you so much. This next poem is by Heavenly Angel, and it is The Arrival of Autumn. And this was one of those photos that, like, my camera can do, like, a wide view, so it's very, very long. And it shows this red barn house with this
panoramic
stone wall. Yeah, a panoramic. Thank you, Raconteur. Thank you. That's the word. Is it panoramic? Because I thought panoramic is when you go all the way around.
But
I
don't know that it has to be all the way around, but you know, panoramic is that wide, you know, distended, long.
Yeah. So there's the word. Rex got my back when I can't see the word. So then you can see the stone wall just barely at the bottom, and you see it the whole length of the photo, and then this vast green field, and in the background you see all the wood and a little bit of like the field continuing, and then even more woods further back, and in the first brush of wood you can see within the foliage the red barn, and then some of the leaves are turning into autumn. So there's a big red tree, and then there's little bits of oranges and golds in there. And I love autumn. It's my favorite time of the year, especially to take photos. So this is from one of those sets. And she wrote to it, and this is called The Arrival of Autumn by Heavenly Angel. Gold colors lined around me, senses heightened with aroma of autumn. Erupting like apple powder on a cool day, such beauty shines ablaze. These are the times I love to ride along the country ways. Skies are azure blue, tinted violet, lavender hue. Autumn leaves come tumbling down. Scents of allspice and cinnamon, smoky scents from inviting fires. The woods are dressed in nature's vest of flaming red and gold. Crisp breeze blows swiftly, a glorious cycle of nature's story. Autumn has arrived, touching my heart and letting promise of refreshing spirit. And I thought this was gorgeous. And she also got a silver in someone else's contest too. And these are always so hard for me because you see these gorgeous poems, and you know, sometimes I have a set of multiple gorgeous poems. And I only do eight,
I only do 8 entries because it's all I can handle, because it rips my heart out sometimes when I have to choose. I usually only do 3 spots. I don't ever give honorable mention. I just do the 3 top winners. And not that they don't deserve honorable mention, but I just have the 3 top trophies. And the thing about it is that if someone could not get a trophy and their poem is definitely worthy of the top 3, and it's just like a struggle battle of what I'm going to do and having to choose between them, which, by the way, I do not like. I hate judging. Like, I love reading them. But the judging sometimes is like, why do I do this to myself? Because then I'm sitting there and I'm like, these are all so good. They all deserve top place. I have to give it to somebody. Like, I have to make a choice. It's just nerve-wracking. But, I still do it because I get these wonderful poems like this. And I really love how she puts in the bold colors wind around me. And to me, she was bringing in the panoramic view in that very first line. She doesn't just bring in views, though. She brings in the scents and a taste when she starts talking about the apple pie and a cool day. And one of my favorite things about autumn is it starts, I'm like, as much as I love the water and I love swimming and I love my kayak, I love sweater weather. I just want to wear sweaters all year. I want to go swimming and be able to wear a sweater at the same time. I know that's terrible, but I just love sweaters. So I love how she brings in that cool day. And then these are the times I love to ride along the country ways. Now, you could think of that as riding in a car, riding in a bike. Where I live, like, it's a little bit more country. I would like to think about riding on a horse, because we have roads that, a lot of horses you'll see trot down the back roads. So for me, when I was reading this, I was picturing a horse and view when she wrote that. So I really love that she incorporated that. I liked how she said that leaves were tumbling down, because sometimes they're a little awkward in the wind, and they're like that's exactly what they're doing. They're just tumbling, and I like that. And, of course, the allspice and the cinnamon. I went into the grocery store not yesterday, and I could smell the cinnamon pine cone things that they sell as soon as you walk in. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I love that smell. It's just so gorgeous. So, and it does, and then the smoky scent from inviting fires. When I go camping, the thing that I love most is sometimes, like, all your stuff smells the fire, the campfire smoke, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, my blanket will smell like it, and it's just such a wonderful smell. So again, I love that you brought that in there, because it when I'm reading it, I'm just seeing all these, your words are coming in, but I'm also thinking about all these connections that I'm making to the poem as well. And that's what poetry is, right? It's a connection. And this one definitely did it for me. And then again, at the end, rejuvenating, refreshing. A refreshing spirit, bring nature as a way to calm our minds and make us feel anew. Brilliantly done. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, it's just clear, how she feels about her surroundings and her view of the world. It makes you want to be a part of her world at the same time. It's all warm and lovely and just inviting and loving and serene.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Rex. And Wayne?
Yeah, this is a great photo, and the poem is lovely. Describing the view as she travels down the road. It's a beautiful, relaxing, and a great way to welcome autumn in and be left with a smile on your face. It's a great picture prompt poem, even though it doesn't need the point. The poem does not need a picture to see the view. It's so well written. It's just a cool poem all the way through, and it makes you feel good reading it. Hearing it. Good job.
I agree, Wayne. Excellent comment. Thank you. All right, we got our last one, and then I will be closing up. And we have a SoundCloud
I don't know what was happening there. A SoundCloud for this one as well. And it is Phil, I think. I have to check something, so just give me one second. Oh, before I go, before I, while I'm figuring this out right now, Bracken Tour, you want to plug your show for next week?
Well, you know, it's embroidery, embellishment, exaggeration. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And that's the topic board is up for a change a little early, so you got a chance to mull it over and drop it when you feel like it. Next Tuesday at 8, and listen to me, I'm turning into Sky now. At 10, next Tuesday at 10, Eastern time.
Well, you hang out with me a lot, so 8 o'clock is probably you're thinking, okay. Because you're just thinking 8 o'clock for my shows. You've been hanging out with me a lot lately. That's awesome. I'll be there for the first hour, definitely. And then I am on again, as it was said earlier, my last show on Poetic Slice. We are doing Tron Legacy. It's on at 8 p.m. And if you would like more information about that, please message me directly. And you could write any of the themes, characters, and or quotes. As always, on storyboard. And even though it will be storyboard last show on a Poetic Slice, I am moving storyboards to a team of voices starting next month. So starting next month, storyboards will be moved to Wednesdays on a team of voices. And the topics are already up for next month, in the month of October. Except for one, all but one, all the topics are up already for storyboards next month on A Theme of Voices. And then the next time I am here, actually the next time I'm here is next month, so which is that far away actually. So I'll see you then, and that's for me, that's coming up for me. All right, so I have Phil's a poet, and he gave us a SoundCloud as well, which I'm really excited about. And this is our last one of these evenings, so here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called, "Hey, I'm having my photo taken here. Hey, I'm having my photo taken here. Some people don't appreciate a lady in fair. Now, where would you like me to stand? Shall I do a sultry look with an apple in my hand? Oh, you want me to act naturally, nothing pretentious. Yep, I can do that. I can be natural. I hope I'm not being a menace. You see, Miss Sky, I've never had my photo taken before. I'm a nervous wreck. Just look at my shaking paw. You see that people are going to write about me. Really? They're going to make up some kind of poetry. Nah, no way. Pull the other one. It's got bells on it. I'm sorry, Miss Sky, but I don't believe you. I quit. Hey, wait a minute. Did you just take my photograph? It was my good side. People are going to laugh. That's not fair. Come back. I can do a better pose. Maybe like this, with a flower to my nose." End poem.
Excellent. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to describe the photo. So obviously you can tell through the poem that if he's talking about a creature getting his photo taken, and it is a lemur. So I was in England and we saw lemurs, and he's looking away and I snapped a photo of the lemur. So I love the creativity that Phil, like, this is why it's so fun to do. I hardly ever put any information. I don't say what the picture is. If it's close up and you really can't see really what it is, you just see a colors or whatnot. I never say where it is or I literally do nothing because I want everybody to be original and kind of take it creatively where they want. Sometimes people ask me where it's taken and I will answer them.
But this one, you know, I just thought it was so funny. Like, hey, I'm having my photo taken here. Like this, like he's just having this inside the head conversation as if the lemur was just, I was taking his picture and he was having this whole conversation going on in the midst of it. And I thought that was so fun. I just said, oh, you want me to act naturally? Nothing pretentious? Yep, I can do that. I can be natural. And like I said, I have seen this photo. I was there. I took it. But now I get to see it in a whole different way because I'm seeing this whole storyline of me taking a photo of the lemur and this lemur just getting kind of like sassy over here. And I just thought that was so funny. He's like, wait a minute. And furthermore, he goes in to say, you say that people are going to write about me? Really? They're going to make up some kind of poetry? And he brings the contest itself. It's kind of like, what do they call that? Breaking down the third wall or the fourth wall, right? Is that right,
yes.
Rach, when you're watching a
yep.
film and they bring the film in while you're watching, it's breaking the fourth. Is it the fourth wall?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's kind of like doing that within the poem. And I think it's hilarious. It just tickled me. It was just so fun and so creative, and I was just laughing. Because by the end, he's like, that's my bad side. And we all know that we all have one side that we prefer to take selfies or photos in. This is my good side. So I love that the lemur has one too. And then he's like, don't do that one. I can do it better. And then he starts thinking up ways. Well, let me get the flowers. Let me pretty this up. And it made me smile. It still is making me smile. So really well done, Phil. Thank you so much. And I think when you did the poem, I read it myself. I didn't have a SoundCloud. So it was cool to be able to actually hear you read it because when I did the contest, there was no SoundCloud. So I got to hear your theatrics with it as well, which is just amazing. Rach and Tor, what do you think?
It made me think of Madagascar.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I could hear, you know, I like to move it in the background and you know, the lemurs, like, you know, what do you mean you got to take my picture? Wait a minute. Let me get ready over here. I'm not ready. You know, the whole idea of nature not, you know, being spontaneous, it's like, you know, not yet. Okay.
He had his whole personality.
Yeah. And he wasn't cooperating.
No, I guess not. Excellent comment, Rach. And Wayne, what do you think?
This is wonderful. Phil doing a bit of comedy. I've never heard Phil do comedy before, and he does a good job with it. I couldn't help but smile and kind of snigger a little bit through it. He does comedy pretty well. The Talking Lemur is a wonderful idea, and the way he put that together. I have not viewed the picture yet, and I just leave it to my imagination. It's such a wonderful write. I like comedy, and therefore I like this poem. Great job, Phil. Enjoyed it.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Wayne, and thank you, Phil. And, you know, that wraps it up. I just love the poetry tonight. I'm going to try to remember who I'm thanking here. Oh, I can just look at my board. Look at that. I want to thank, of course, Rach and Tor, A.P. Taylor, Wayne, Deborah Lee, D.A., Heavenly Angel, and Phil the Poet for all calling, submitting, sitting in SoundCloud, sitting in poems, being part of the show, and for writing to these million shutter button contests and being part of it, or even just bringing one a new one today, which was awesome, and being part of the show. So thank you guys, and thanks Wayne and Rach for sticking around the whole show and
great show.
Joining me and having a conversation. Yeah, and we are. Thank you, Wayne. And we are closing out with the same Alex band, the same band we came in with, but we are closing out with Take Hold of Me, and we opened up with Somebody's Face. So hope you enjoyed. Have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow here at Team of Voices with Deborah Lee.
never been more alone. I'm sinking like a stone. Seems everything I knew no longer gets me through this madness. I can't take it now. Everything I planned has crumbled into sand. I'm slipped into the sea. Someone please save me from this pain, 'cause I'm going insane. So take hold of me, take hold of me, yeah, take hold of me, you'll never let me go. People I leaned on, one blink and they are gone. Oh, and so I turn to you to pour my lost soul out of this flood. Dying for love, so take hold of me. Yeah, take hold of me. Oh, well, take hold of me and never let me go. Don't let me go. Oh, oh, don't. Take hold of me. Yeah, take.